This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is Tracy Carroll, a co-founder of FlexCar and executive director of NetGreen, a new Seattle-based nonprofit. NetGreen is dedicated to preventing climate change by encouraging businesses, individuals, and communities to take responsibility for their carbon emissions and become carbon neutral through the purchase of carbon offsets today while working to reduce their emissions over time. Welcome, Tracy.
Hi. How are you doing, Diane?
What led you to found NetGreen?
Well, it came from a realization that we must face this problem in a non-divisive way that reaches out to everybody and finds a core value that everyone can jump on, and that we have limited time and money, that's our limited resources, and that we must face this problem with that. And we don't have a whole lot of time, so we all need to step up and take responsibility, and I believe we have a very viable way of doing that.
Could you explain the mission and goals of NetGreen?
NetGreen's goal is simple. We want to stop the buildup of greenhouse gases. We have a mission to do that, like I said, in a non-divisive way. We want to make sure that this social responsibility is according to the wherewithal of people. We want to get everybody on board with this.
Could you now briefly remind us of the concept of a carbon footprint?
Okay, a carbon footprint is simple. It's your impact on the buildup of CO2. So it's your fossil fuel emissions. So it is your house electric use, your natural gas, propane, and oil use. It's, you're driving, the gas that you use, and it's air travel. Those are the primary things. Of course, there are other things, but those are the primary impact areas.
How can individuals go about determining their own carbon footprint?
Well, it's very simple. You would first go to www.achievenetgreen.org. There is a carbon counter you can get to that calculates your emissions. You put in your electric use, your natural gas use, your car use, and your air use, and it tells you how many tons of CO2 you're emitting. This is very valuable to know. The awareness that's built from this is key. If you're putting out 25 tons and your neighbor's putting out 35 tons, you have a basis of comparison. So that's essentially what you do. And then right there, you can fund carbon offsets. You can pool your money with many, many other people and fund large, innovative, creative projects. And these projects, these carbon offset projects, are of very high quality, and they hold to the criteria of this group called the Climate Trust, who is a carbon offset implementer and provider.
Looking specifically at carbon footprints, could you give a specific example? For example, what is your own carbon footprint?
Our family, me, my wife, and a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, put out 25 tons of CO2. The way that was calculated is, number one, we looked at our electric use. We didn't have to put in anything for that. It was very simple. You just look at your bill and you figure out your yearly use. And in that case, Seattle City Light is carbon neutral. They have taken a very clear stance to become carbon neutral and fund these carbon offset projects, and I'll give some examples in a little bit. They're climate neutral, so we put in a big zero there. Our house, we don't have natural gas usage or oil. We drive a biodiesel car. There is impact from that. And we fly, my wife flies for business, and we fly back to Chicago to see our family, and it basically amounts to 100,000 miles of air travel, which is a fair amount. But our family, before air travel, put out about 12 tons of CO2. With the air travel, it's another 12. So air travel is a big, big impact area.
What would a typical family likely put out in terms of a carbon footprint?
About the same. most families outside Seattle would have an impact from their electric use. A lot of families are using natural gas or oil or propane to heat. And then, you know, there's the driving, which can mount up. In our case, we don't drive a whole lot. But the typical person would drive about 12,000 miles a year, maybe not in the city, not that much. And then there's some air travel. Each family puts out about 25 tons, and each individual, you know, just in general, just looking at the total emissions of Puget Sound or Seattle, and then dividing it by the population, puts out about 12 tons of CO2. So that's a per capita number.
What does it mean to be carbon neutral?
Carbon neutral, it is this. We live in a day and age where you pretty much can't avoid putting out some emissions. I am completely for and have dedicated most of my life with flex car and energy efficiency projects or energy efficiency lighting and ground source heat pumps to reduce CO2. So we put up emissions. You know, we can strive to reduce them, but we can put money into a fund that does these carbon offset projects. And that fund will prevent the buildup of CO2 or the emissions of CO2 from another project. And these projects would not happen without the money. That is the way to counteract your impact right now.
Could you go into detail about the benefits of using offsets?
The benefits of offsets are this. It's very empowering, first off, to actually know that you're doing something with your limited time and money that's making a huge difference. A lot of people are struggling with, what do I do? And, you know, does it make sense? And am I using my time and money efficiently to face this problem of global warming? What happens is very cool. The money goes into these projects. I'm going to give some examples now. The examples are like truck stop electrification. Trucks will idle all night long, you know, to keep the person warm in the cab and to so he can read and watch television and all those things. But they'll idle all night long. Well, you set up a infrastructure in the truck and outside the truck, and you fund it, and suddenly the trucks are plugging in. So that's truck stop electrification. That industry did not exist prior to the Climate Trust helping it along. So we've created a new industry with our money. And there's a bunch of projects like that. So this money will allow us to move towards a less carbon-intensive world, cost-effectively and efficiently.
How do you see offsets fitting into overall efforts to reduce climate change?
Well, that's the biggie. There is a increasing need to reduce CO2 as quickly as possible with our limited resources. These projects reduce the buildup of CO2, very simply. They also empower people to do that. Each and every one of us can step up, and I encourage you to do so. Figure out your carbon footprint, counteract it, and continue to strive to reduce your CO2 emissions.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Tracy Carroll, Executive Director of NetGreen, a new Seattle-based nonprofit. NetGreen is dedicated to preventing climate change by encouraging businesses, individuals, and communities to take responsibility for their carbon emissions and become carbon neutral through the purchase of carbon offsets today while working to reduce their emissions over time. Could you go into detail about the Climate Trust, which is the organization from which you are proposing people buy their carbon offsets?
Well, let me tell you first why NetGreen and I chose the Climate Trust as a partner to work with. They are a group that is just rock solid. They are making sure they're analyzing, they're monitoring and verifying. They're making sure that these projects that they are funding are actually reducing carbon and that it's real. My core goal has been to reduce greenhouse gas emissions for the last 15 years, and I've done it in a variety of ways. I think I said lighting efficiency, these ground source heat pumps, and also FlexCar. And I've always run it through a very simple formula. And the formula is a dollar spent versus how many pounds of CO2 is reduced. So FlexCar does that greatly. Lighting does that greatly. But these carbon offset projects do it even greater. And that's why my energy is going towards this. There are a number of groups out there doing this, and we're all doing very good work. But the key question to evaluate, and you must evaluate that, this and not just take it at face value, is would these projects happen without the money being put into them? That is a key question, and the Climate Trust holds to that and makes sure it happens completely. And I was very impressed by their staff and their dedication to this principle.
Could you go into some detail about the specific projects that Climate Trust is funding? You already mentioned the truck stop electrification, but could you give some other examples of their projects and how they contribute to a reduction in carbon emission?
Well, there's some very good examples. There's another project that's being funded by the Climate Trust, which is Climate Cool Concrete. Concrete is a very energy-intensive process. So what they've done is they've taken a byproduct of the coal industry, fly ash, and the Climate Cool Concrete involves mixing that in, thus offsetting the amount of concrete that needs to be produced. In doing that, you're reducing emissions. They've done a lot of process energy efficiency projects in the paper industry. There's a possibility of funding school energy efficiency, these undercapitalized markets where these projects aren't going to happen without some money and without some help. They also do some forestry projects, and less than 25% of their portfolio is involved with forestry projects. It's a highly debatable area, but the Climate Trust is making sure that these projects are actually reducing CO2 through their criteria.
Could you also say a few words about things like traffic signal optimization that are listed on their project list?
Yeah, I can't speak to that too much. I would refer you to, through our website, again, achievenetgreen.com. There is the full evaluation of all these projects.
Could you go into a bit more detail about how the money from Climate Trust has been instrumental in making the offset projects happen?
Well, that's the key, is it's beyond business as usual. These projects would not happen without the money. It is not legislated, and the money makes it happen. Very simple.
So if an individual decides they would like to become carbon neutral and buy carbon offsets for their emissions, how much is it going to cost them?
Well, it's going to cost a family or individual somewhere, a range of from $150 to $250. An individual, depending on their lifestyle, could be anywhere from $80 to $120, depending on how much they drive and how much they fly, really. So it is relatively affordable. With this campaign that we're starting, the Ballard Get Carbon Neutral campaign, which is part of a broader campaign called the King County Get Carbon Neutral, kind of a community-by-community plan. We're empowering people to do just that, and we encourage people who have the wherewithal to offset more than their carbon footprint, because there are certainly many people that, $100 can be a lot of money, and they won't be able to afford this, nor will they be able to divert their attention towards this because they have their own pressures and needs in their lives.
Do you think there's any danger that people who buy the offsets will then feel as though they've done what they can to fight global warming and will be less rigorous about trying to reduce their overall emissions?
I really don't. A lot of people are dedicated towards reducing their footprint, shrinking their footprint. They will continue to do that. I mean, the fact that I'm carbon neutral and many other people are carbon neutral has not affected their efforts to shrink their carbon footprint. Certainly, There are some that, their lifestyle, their needs, their, desires, their own situation, their carbon footprint is higher. I believe that this thing is completely non-divisive and appeals to everybody. The awareness that's built from knowing your footprint and taking responsibility for it and internalizing the external cost will help the effort.
Who has stepped up so far to become carbon neutral here in Seattle?
Well, there are a number of companies and many, many individuals. The most notable companies are Noah Growski, Rupp Insurance. They're a broker of insurance. They're not only going to become carbon neutral themselves, but they're going to, on behalf of their policyholders, offset a lot of carbon. And they're going to let their policyholders know that. There's Pear Restaurant, a small restaurant, very upscale, upscale, and they're in the Northeast area. They're going to be carbon offset. The Green Car Company, which is a company that's focused on the selling of very green cars, the smart car and biodiesel cars. They're in Kirkland. MC Electric Vehicles, Johnston Architects, Agape Child Care in Ballard, and the League of Women Voters and Compass Realty. You see that there's a broad range of companies there in different sectors. That is, quite frankly, our strategy, is to get businesses in different areas carbon neutral and then go to the next business.
Obviously, some businesses are stepping forward, but overall, what kind of response from businesses have you been getting?
Very, very good. You know, when you go in and you don't debate the science and don't go into the snowpack and all the things that you can get caught up with into a debate for a very long time, and you appeal to this core value of just social responsibility, and you demonstrate that it's very affordable, and you say that, you don't need to bite off the whole thing. You can take responsibility. You can offset part of it, all of it, or more of it. And so that resonates with people. And then you also say, let us figure out your carbon footprint. And that's valuable information to know. So everyone I've met with, if we have to categorize here a little bit, very liberal to very conservative people, and they've all resonated with that social responsibility. And I'm not telling them to get rid of their car, I'm just telling them to take responsibility and strive to reduce. And that seems to resonate with everybody that I've spoken with.
Could you go into more detail about the response of individuals offsetting their carbon emissions in their own lives?
Well, it's very interesting to kind of see them have a sigh of relief. Many people are struggling with this idea, what to do, how to do it, and they now feel very empowered to do something that uses their money effectively and their time, and does it now. It offsets these emissions or secures these carbon offsets right now. So they feel empowered. They feel relieved. They are doing something that, is something that they can do right now.
Well, I know you just got started within the last few months, but roughly how many individuals have stepped up so far?
Yeah, I would say, we're just starting, and this Ballard Get Carbon Neutral campaign is our big kickoff. But there are 50 to 100 individuals in the Seattle area that have stepped forward just from the little exposure we've had to this point on that. We feel that going to businesses and community groups and churches and asking them to become carbon neutral from this basis of social responsibility and balance is the first step. Then they promote that to all their members and their employees and their customers. And that raises the awareness among them. And then they become carbon neutral. So effectively, the business and church and community groups are a path to the individuals, as opposed to us trying to go from individual to individual.
To what extent so far are communities willing to become carbon neutral? You've alluded to Ballard, so they're obviously stepping up.
Well, Sustainable Ballard has been, you know, very, very supportive. And so this campaign is actually the launch of that. We often feel that this problem is somebody else's responsibility, that the government should handle it, that, you know, it's China that's making all the emissions. Well, it's not their responsibility. It's each of our responsibilities. So as communities, this is a movement, an empowering movement, a non-divisive empowering movement of responsibility and balance that I believe can be adopted by every community. Ballard is the start of that. But our overall goal is to enable King County to become carbon neutral, and we wish to do that community by community.
Who is involved in the effort to make Ballard carbon neutral?
Well, it's Sustainable Ballard, like I said, ourselves. There is support from many of the community groups. What we're going to do is at this event, Larry Phillips will be speaking. He's very supportive. Richard Conlon, Steve Nicholas from the Office of Sustainability, the Seattle Office of Sustainability and the Environment, Mary Lou Dickerson, Marilyn Chase, and also there'll be a proclamation from Ron Sims. So they're very supportive. We're launching it now. So one of the things we're going to do right after launching it is we're going to set up an advisory committee of the community groups in Ballard, and that'll be a broad range. They'll help drive this process forward. Lake Forest Park has expressed interest. Georgetown community has expressed interest. And it will continue to propagate. This is something that every community can do.
Could you tell us now about the Get Carbon Neutral campaign launch event that will take place next Wednesday, August 30th at 10 a.m. in Ballard's Bergen Park?
Well, I can say please come at 10 a.m. Bergen Park is right at the intersections of Leary Way, Market, and 22nd. I've alluded to the speakers that will be there. We're also going to have a very innovative symbol of progress that we're going to unveil, and I'll allude to it here. It's going to be a upside-down thermometer, and this upside-down thermometer is kind of like a fundraising thermometer, but it will be upside down, and as businesses and individuals step forward and become carbon neutral or offset their emissions or more than their emissions, this thermometer will move down, and we'll uncover it so that the blue moves down and moves to the point of making Ballard carbon neutral. And it'll be on display in the middle of town so that everybody can see it. We're going to have, I'm going to speak with the Ballard News Tribune about putting in, you know, getting some space to show this upside down thermometer as it moves down, you know, from week to week.
How will you determine whether Ballard becomes carbon neutral?
Well, the way that we did it, and, you know, we didn't spend a whole lot of time doing a greenhouse gas inventory of Ballard. We need to move on this. So there's a number out there that's established, this per capita number that I alluded to, both in the Puget Sound and Seattle, which basically you take the total of emissions of the area, and this has been done for the city of Seattle. They've looked at their greenhouse gas inventory, they call it. And you divide, what we did is we divided by the population. So now we have a per capita number. That's 12 tons per person. So we looked at the population of Ballard, which is approximately 42,000 people, and we divided that, or we times it by 12 tons. And that's the total emissions. We need to move along step by step. We believe that if we can get to the tipping point, which is about 5 to 10% of the population, that the unexpected will become expected. It'll become the norm. And that's what we're looking for. It's just like taking out your trash or, you know, recycling. You take responsibility for it. And so we want that to become the norm.
What do you see as the greatest challenges in persuading Seattle citizens to become carbon neutral?
Well, first off, it's determining what's the most cost-effective path. I mean, we have limited time, money, and we also, I mean, we have limited time to face this problem. So we need to be empowered. And by pooling our money together through this, by contributing to offset through us and the Climate Trust, we help that. Now, it's part of the solution. Obviously, the other challenges are changing our habit, pushing along legislation, increasing our energy efficiency. I believe all of those things will help by stepping up and counteracting your emissions. Awareness, a bunch of groups and individuals who are carbon neutral who can petition and legislate or help legislation move along. And energy efficiency will certainly be helped, both from the project standpoint and from feeding back into our own lives, because of the economies of scale and the investment that will go towards this less carbon-intensive economy.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I would say that take responsibility. Don't wait for the government or other countries. It's not their problem. It's each of ours. And, feel empowered to make a difference. You can feel empowered by counteracting your impact in this affordable way through, and it's key, high-quality carbon offsets, as I said. NetGreen can help you in both these ways. So that's counteracting your impact and striving to reduce your impact. So we call this, in NetGreen, Achieve Net Green. That is achieving net green. And so please go to www.achieve, that's A-C-H-I-E-V-E, net green. And that's N-E-T-G-R-E-E-N, and it's .org.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Tracy.
Thank you, Diane.
We have just been speaking with Tracy Carroll, Executive Director of Net Green. For more information, call Tracy at area code 206-391-6744. Again, that's 206-391-6744. Or check on the web at www.achievenetgreen.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week.